A Christmas reflection for my skeptical friends. Christmas is coming. I've strung up the lights to shove out the darkness, and my wife is baking cookies to bring that warm, gooey goodness into the world. Bells will be ringing, ding dong, ding dong. Choirs will be singing, and women everywhere will curl into their favorite couches to binge on Hallmark Christmas specials. The stories will be familiar, but strangely satisfying. The pretty but confused heroine is about to make the biggest mistake of her life by marrying Mr. Wrong, or taking the big job in the city. Mr. Wrong will be expertly played by the guy who is loaded and good-looking-ish. As a rule, Mr. Right is always better looking. That's how you can spot him. At some point, Mr. Right will see Mr. Wrong present an engagement ring to our leading lady, but slink off before seeing her turn him down. After one or two romantic near misses, an angel will intervene to help out our gal meet Mr. Right under the mistletoe. Occasionally, Santa himself will show up. They kiss. Finally, it's a Christmas miracle. Christmas is the best of times, but also the worst of times. We could all use some of those Hallmark miracles, couldn't we? You see, some of us have lost our jobs. Rising costs and a listing economy results in layoffs. It's not personal, it's fiscal, but it sure feels personal. Some of us will face our first Christmas without a loved one. Still others will sit alone on Christmas Eve. No wassailing and no wassail, just one long, silent night with the promise of a January that is, from the words of C.S. Lewis, always winter and never Christmas. It's no wonder that many of us are Christmas skeptics. But even if you don't believe the Christmas story about a virgin birth and peace on earth, you should want it to be true. You see, the Christmas story tells us that God loves the lowly. The story starts not in Bethlehem, but in the throne room of God amidst flashes of lightning and peals of thunder. God sends a message of hope to a 12 or 13-year-old virgin. The archangel Gabriel descends from the highest place to Nazareth, down to the lowest, most redneck town in Israel, with a message of hope for the humble and the hungry. Little Mary will bear a son, and this child will save us all from our brokenness. You should want it to be true because Christmas reminds us that God likes us. So much, in fact, that He would become a man and take on our weaknesses, our fevers, our runny noses, and even our temptations. God loves the lowly. He loves the children that go to bed with rumbling bellies and the single moms that work three jobs to put a meal on the table. He loves the men who push a broom and use Gojo to clean the gunk from underneath their fingernails. He so loved the dirty, unwashed masses that He became one of us to save us and relaunch Project Humanity. Even if you don't believe in the virgin birth, you should want it to be true, because God cares about our suffering. The story of Christmas invites us to entrust our deepest hurts to God. If you've lived long enough, you've wrestled to exhaustion with the dilemma of why an all-good and all-powerful God, for reasons unbeknownst to us, ordains terrible hardships. The why question of suffering is the unanswered question mark turned like a fish hook into the human heart. Christians are not exempt from suffering. We suffer unemployment, emergency brain surgeries, and die with Alzheimer's too. We are not immune from tear-stained pleas hurled at an opaque heaven in desperation. But we cling to hope because the story of Christmas tells us that God Himself entered into our suffering, bearing our moral failures in His own body on a piece of bile-stained wood. Pastor and author Timothy Keller writes, "If we ask the question, why does God allow evil and suffering to continue? And we look at the cross of Jesus, we still do not know what the answer is. However, we know what the answer isn't. It can't be that He doesn't love us. It can't be that He's indifferent or detached from our condition. When Mary swaddled baby Jesus in those shabby strips of linen, God rolled up His sleeves to put an end to our suffering. He cares about our deep hurts and injustices, and in Christ Jesus, He's done something about it. Christmas is God with us in suffering and beyond suffering. Even, friend, if you don't believe in the virgin birth and God bringing peace on earth, you should want it to be true. Because in that story, God restores wonder to a broken world. A simple shoebox stuffed with dollar store toys and toothpaste produces smiles in remote villages everywhere. Little girls everywhere hug dollies close to their hearts, and little boys peel out in their big wheels. Heck, even a cardboard box can serve as a fort or a fortress if the imagination is big enough. Christmas brings a sense of wonder to children around the world. But as we get older and more jaded, our thick hearts lose the ability to feel awe. Rabbi Zacharias reminds us, the older that you get, the more it takes to fill your heart with wonder. And only God is big enough to do that. We should want the Christmas story to be true because in the Christmas story, God restores wonder to a broken world. Mary was astonished at the angel's words about giving birth to a son. She was only 12 or 13, but she knew how babies were made. "How can this be," she said, "since I have not been intimate with a man?" The angel's explanation strolled past biology in favor of theology. "With God," Gabriel answered, "nothing is impossible." Oh, the wonder of this teenage girl's humble commitment. "I am the Lord's slave. May it be done to me according to your word." The announcement of the virgin conception took Mary by surprise. If you know anything about the God of the Bible, though, it's not unlike God to do the unlikely. This child, swaddled in strips of shabby linen, as we sing, "Born that man no more may die," would one day swallow up death, forever destroying the burial shroud covering all the nations. Even if you don't believe in the Christmas story, friend, you should want it to be true, because your heart was made to wonder at the work of God, and we were meant to live. I cling to the Christmas story, not because I'm naive or simple-minded, but because I believe it possesses greater explanatory power than that other virgin birth story. You know, the one where Stephen Hawking tells us that the universe, quote, "can and will create itself from nothing," unquote. One story tells me that help is coming for people like me with hearts that are two sizes too small. The other story offers me, in the words of comedian Norm MacDonald, just dirt. As for me, I'm going to go with the story that brings me the most hope. I want the story that has the most hope for a hurting world. But wherever you stand on the big questions of life, I want to wish you a happy Christmas.